Cha cha cha.
Woo! Fire. Heather.
I am wound up. I am feeling a little sparky. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little sparky. I'm kind of feeling lucky.
Yes. Yes.
Are you feeling lucky? Okay. Anyway, we talked about this right before we started, Heather, but there's definitely, for me personally, and maybe if I dare say for you as well, mm-hmm. There's definitely some Sagittarius energy in the air in all the fun ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've just kind of got this inherent trust that shit's going to be all right.
Yeah. No, I really do.
Is this what it's like to be a Sagittarius every day?
Right? I know. God, let me have some of that. Yeah.
But it's been nice.
I know. I feel so optimistic.
How you feeling?
Really good. Yeah. I was telling Miranda about all my anxieties at the beginning of this year and all the shit I have been like working through, I feel like. But yeah, like now, even with not knowing where I'm going to live in the next 6 months, I think that's one other anxiety that I haven't touched on. Like I do. I just like trust now. Like it's all going to be okay. Something always works out.
Yeah.
We're strong bitches.
Hey, I'm a strong bitch. Mm-hmm. Heather, I know you're a strong bitch. Mm-hmm. Listeners, we know you're all a bunch of strong bitches. Welcome back. Happy Sag. That's Heather Cunningham. I'm Miranda Lenski. Yeah, no, I do. I just totally hear what you're saying. It just does feel like I think I compared it to, you know, it's winter here. And naturally, every winter season, I hyperfixate on Harry Potter. Mm. I can't explain it. I think it's because, like, the first one came out, I want to say maybe during Christmas.
Yeah, there's that big Christmas scene. That's one of the only Harry Potter movies that I really remember. Or that I've really seen. Right, don't kill me.
No, folks, I'll get it later. Don't you worry. No, but exactly. I think it's like a... you know, on the side of, you know, the dark lords and the bad, scary energy. It's always like, there's like always a Christmas shop.
Right.
There's like always like a snowy, like cutie castle moment. And so, yeah, it's just, and it's always, I feel like the Harry Potter's always came out around like Christmas until like the end there. It was like a big summer blockbuster. But anyways, I compared it to Harry. Taking liquid luck. I'm almost like there's just something in the energy, like when he's just like bebopping around the castle, because he just has this like innate like trust mm-hmm. in that everything's gonna be fine and work out. And I think like when you go through your Saturn return, Heather, mm-hmm. Especially where we are right now, the evidence only suggests that you've gotten yourself this far, and it's almost like you don't really have a... not that you can't try, and boy do I, but it's almost like I now hear myself being like negative or pessimistic, and I'm like, well, you just know that's not true.
Right.
Like I'm almost like, yeah, okay, you can have like, you know, your teenage dirtbag moment here, your little nobody gets me, life in the suburbs is so rough, like sure, like have that process, but also like it's just not true. Mm-hmm. Everything you've gotten this far, everything that's gotten you here has proven to you, like you just have receipts that shit is gonna be okay, because it just has
receipts. I don't know, I love that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, and I think that's there is something a little beautiful about getting to this age in general, even if you haven't had your Saturn return yet, or you just or you already have had like the big peak of it. There is just like, that's sort of the beauty and the growth. It's like, no, I still don't, yeah, I don't have shit figured out still, but I do have the confidence in my ability to keep me alive while I figure it mm-hmm, out. Mm-hmm. You know, if that, yeah. So I do, there's a beautiful, like, I don't know. That's been sort of my personal favorite part, I think, selfishly for me, with what the energy my Saturn return
yeah.
has sort of dished out this year. And a lot of it, very radical,
yeah,
scary, yeah. unstable energy. But then even through that, it was almost, it's like there's a test, right? It's mm-hmm. like, okay, you just went through your peak. This is the universe to us, right? The universe is like, okay, I just showed you, and now you're gonna question me again,
right?
you have the audacity to question me slamming certain doors in your face when I'm pointing you in the direction of these open windows. You're gonna question that. Anyways, yeah, I just, it must be the Sag in the air.
Yeah, no, I totally.
I feel like I'm drinking liquid luck every day, baby.
I love that. I totally agree. Can you believe that we're, according to Astro Dienst, it's like transit calculator, our Saturn returns are over in like April, which is so wow. soon. And as it was approaching, being a devoted student of astrology, you know, I feel like my brain, I try very hard not to let astrology be a fear-inducing system. I do not think that is its purpose. And I hate mm-hmm. fear in general. I'm trying very hard not to have it at all. But I feel like leading up to it, I was like thinking about the worst case scenarios. But honestly, and I mean, granted, there are a few months left, but I feel like it's just been very natural stuff that I knew was going to happen, you know, like
yeah.
friends moving to new yeah. places, needing to big really, shake-ups. Yeah, but like take accountability yeah. for your own destiny, I guess, is like the big right. theme.
Yeah, I had a lot of surprises this year.
Yeah, you did.
While not all of them were, you know, the best or my like my favorites, I caught myself and I was talking with Heather folks before we started recording about this too, where, you know, I feel like I almost find myself at the end of every year like, this year sucked, let's get on with the next one. Or and I had a moment where I literally was like, oh, but you can't say that, you like, because while it was, you know, whether it's job stuff or just like the fucking price of everything right now, whether you know your country's funding a genocide, who's to say? A lot of things are just, you know, bleak, right? And it's like we can always look at the bleak side, right? And normally I do. But I also was like, I went to Europe 3 different times this year, all 3 completely unexpected after yeah. not having been once in my life. And I just kind of caught myself being like, this year sucked. And I'm like, that's not what you said when you were sipping wine in Dijon, bitch.
Hell yeah.
And a lot of weird things happened before that actually allowed Europe as a possibility to even happen. And the perspective you're in. It's all, and I think there was just sort of like, we've done this before, right? Even when I was at my lowest, I was more just like, yeah, this doesn't feel great right now, but I'm just, you know, what I'm looking forward to and keeping my head up for the moment where I look back on this and it mm-hmm. is. And like that moment of perspective and clarity of, I remember just being like, yeah, this, I'm not having fun, but I'm really, really grateful for what's to come. That's going to give me the perspective of why this needed to happen or what have you, right? And that can be on so many different levels or, yeah, I just think it's, if I keep telling myself this too, I'm like, well, if you're going to choose to look at the bad, you just simply have to also
yes.
look at the good or it's not fair.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm at an age now too, where I'm just kind of like, well, you just sound ridiculous. Like being
yeah.
like, I'm like, okay, be a pessimist, have a moment. But like, you just simply know that's not true.
That.
I can't lie to myself about shit anymore the way I think I could when I was younger. Like I'm doomed.
Right.
And now I'm kind of like, okay.
Right.
Like, breathe through it, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I don't know if I got that from you, but I've been giving that advice lately. Like if you're gonna look at the negative, you have to also understand the positive.
It's just simple yeah. math. Yeah. Or otherwise, why are you at the chalkboard?
Yeah.
Anyways, no, yeah, I do. That's also, and that's on therapy.
Yeah, yeah. Can I change the topic wildly?
Please.
And I feel like I've been wanting to like fully talk about this with you, Miranda, because I've been learning a lot about AI coming into our lives. And from an astrological perspective, so Pluto is moving into Aquarius at the start of next year. We right. begin this 20-year cycle of Pluto being in Aquarius. It's not going to be in Capricorn anymore for the rest of our lifetimes. And
is that the shift?
It's like, I don't know. And I, you know, like we were just saying, I try to keep a balanced perspective. Like if I hear something very negative about AI, then I try to think about the positives as well. But it's so interesting thinking about Aquarius being the sign of humanity And then the introduction of artificial intelligence, which I think, in a sense, can be a huge fucking threat to humanity in the fact that people are going to have the ability, perhaps, to have, like, robot sex companions, basically. Which...
Like Her.
Right. Like the movie Her could be, like, a regular thing, as common as our iPhones. But I'm hoping... maybe it'll bring us back to really appreciating the human experience, human art. I'm really fucking scared that AI is going to be able to read natal charts, which is like the one thing that only humans who like have studied it for 10 fucking years, like me, can like look at a chart and synthesize all the parts. Like a computer hasn't been able to do that perfectly, but I'm like, maybe fucking AI can, and it's going to put me out of business. And this thing that I've been working hard for 10 years, like...
Absolutely not. What the fuck am I going to want to listen to a birth chart from AI? I just feel like...
I don't know. Yeah, no, please tell me that. Please.
Your fears are totally valid. But it's also kind of like, I just saw a post. You just reminded me too. I saw a post of... I know a couple of folks in the comedy community, in the comedy scene, who both recently got onto SNL. And one of them is a writer and the other one is a performer. And... one of them posted recently a joke, you know, kind of about AI's gonna take writers' jobs. And while they're, and it was like a, I think it was for a show promotion that they were posting it for, or like that they shared like a really funny sketch that they did, that they wrote, that they performed. And then, you know, the caption was like a funny thing about like AI's gonna take all of our writing jobs. And it was such a nice, like, to me, as I interpreted it, maybe I totally interpreted it completely wrong. To me, it was still just like, I think it's like anything else where it's just like, but why would I want to watch a show that's written by AI? Like, the whole point, I think, of like astrology for me personally, and I hope people understanding it and who vibe with it, I hope this is the point for them too, is fucking humanity.
I know. I think so.
Like, that's the point. And I know that AI is technically
made by humans,
but like, that's not, to me, that's not the vibe, that's not the energy. And I totally hear your fears, and you're valid for thinking that, because I also too was just like, well, what's stopping all of us from just like having AI write comedy shows? And I think that, and like, this to me is how I interpreted this post for this person who just got SNL, is like the humanity is the whole fucking point of it. And I love what you said too, Heather. Real quick, I just wanted to say that, like, I almost wonder too if we're gonna get so far that we go back,
right? Because you always need just crisis, like anything, to change. Sort of doesn't happen without crisis. Unfortunately, it's the human
unfortunately.
Condition.
Unfortunately, yeah. But like, and it's just sort of like, you know. Right now, what's so funny is that digital cameras, I feel like, are making a huge comeback with the Zoomers, which is really funny. Like, we're going back to wanting to carry a whole another excessive accessory to like take photos. But again, it's for like there's something nostalgic about what there's something, I think, nostalgic for a lot of like millennials, even when they have that. And nostalgia to me is such a human, I don't know.
I feel like it's retro. It's about to be the cool.
Right. Like, there's something like, it's, I feel like, you know, the more we, you know, people are wanting to use like VHS cameras again. Right. There's so much like that this is why trends come back. Yeah. Right. There's things you miss about certain times. It's really interesting to hear your theory about that too. Like, are we going to go so far down that we come back? And it's like, well, and now they're making phones now too, that are just phones, right? You can get a cell phone that's just a phone. No internet is on it. That's like something they make now for people. And a lot of people love them. And like, they're actually really expensive.
Oh, I was going to say, like, that's a great idea. If it's cheaper, I'll get that. But
yeah, I think it has like GPS for like safety purposes. Okay. So yeah, you can always still like use GPS and like be found. But it's like the whole idea is that it's just a phone. There's no internet access. And people like love that. And it's like, as we're getting farther down with social media, now social media has all these settings. Like, you can limit yourself to it. There's more like, it's like none of that would exist if it wasn't a real issue for humans, mm-hmm. right? And social media is still bending the knee towards what's better for humans and how to low-key still keep them a part of the social media right beating heart of it all. But like, I do find that interesting that we are aware of what social media, say what you want all day. It's an enigma. It has a heartbeat because humans allow it. So,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We give it that power. And the fact that we now have limitations from it, because it's like I totally hear what you're saying. But I think like if that is the case, what's going to be totally missing from it is just like genuinely human to human connection. And
it might make us appreciate it more. I'm hoping.
Right. And it's like, you know, COVID happened,
right,
and nobody wanted to go back into the offices anymore. But it wasn't because they didn't want to see other humans anymore. It was the idea of like, it's because I want to feel more human again. And like, or like a lot of people wanted to like stay home. That's time they could still be more around their loved ones and not just like cranking out hours at the office or what have you. Right. But then a lot of people, that was an issue because they missed the human too. I think at the end of the day, what technology will never be is another fucking human, no matter how hard you tried to like design it.
I think so. I'm optimistic. It's Sag season. I really do believe that if it's going to be this crazy disastrous thing, it'll only be temporary and it'll bring us back to humanity. I mean, that is like my belief, but I'm also a little scared, I have to be honest. Like, because like when you're communicating with AI, it learns more about you and you can form a relationship with it the more you interact with it. And it, I guess, like, is so advanced that it can really feel real. And I'm just like worried about the incels. Honestly,
but literally everyone go watch her and see how that fucking turned
out.
Just saying that no one makes iRobot or her as a place of like, this should be it.
Right.
It's always from a place of warning. It's always from a place of like, it's cool until it's not.
Yeah.
Until we forget that it's like, yeah.
I heard this story real fast. That blew my mind on this psychology podcast of this guy who was so attached to his mother. Like, his mother was his world, but he was a grown man, married, and his mom was dying. And as his mom was dying of cancer, he's one of the people who like trailblazed AI, apparently. Like, he was like, I need to save her. I need to freeze her. Or actually, I guess the better option is to like create a robot version of her. And he started like doing interviews with her and shit, and like recording her and like creating this like AI thing that basically had her personality at the end of the day. And then when she was on her deathbed dying, he like got a call that she was like about to die, but then he had this like pitch meeting for this AI that he's been developing to like create a new version of his mother. And he called his mom called him and she was like, you know, baby, you've been working on this for the past like 5 years. Like, this is your project. Like, I'm going to die regardless. We've had so many conversations. You have to do this. So he went to the pitch meeting, and at the meeting was like, I got a call that my mom died 2 hours ago, but I'm here so that we can create AI. There's no place for grief in the world. Grief is a meaningless experience, and we all need to be able to like save our loved ones, and AI is the recipe for that. And I was like, oh my God. And his marriage ended because his wife was like, you're too obsessed with this. You have no time for me. And like, I was like, holy shit. Like, these things might happen where people become so obsessed with this thing that's not real.
Right. And he didn't save his loved one.
I know.
He created a
replacement.
That's
a cheap robot replacement.
But yeah.
That blew my mind. Isn't that insane?
That's a crazy. Wow. Heather. I'm like, and with that.
With that, let's get into these charts.
Shall we move on to these charts? AI could never do Hollywood horoscopes. Let's
thank
just say
you.
That.
Say it again.
But I will, before, I know we're going to hop into these charts, but I just also want to point out, like, I totally hear you. You're totally valid. And before I saw, this person from the comedy community's post, which I don't know why I'm not saying it's Chloe. Chloe Trost, ladies and gentlemen and listeners. They're a new performer on SNL. We've bumped elbows at the BCC. I've seen them around the community a lot. It was like when I moved here, they were already being discussed about sort of like being That's up so for cool. grabs for SNL. So it's so exciting and cool to see that happen for them. And then I'm like, I just watched them on a,
yeah, that's in a so sketch cool.
with Pete Davidson. Yeah. And it was just, yeah, it's very exciting. But, and their post is the one that made me like think extra about like, or I did laugh at that. I liked, you know, I think to me, the intention was very much like, there's humanity cannot ever fully be replaced. We can get close, sure. But there's always going to be an artificialness to yeah. it. If there wasn't a sense of loss of humanity, that guy would have never made that robot. Jesus Christ. That robot yeah. of his mom. If there wasn't a sense of loss. And I grief is a horrible fucking thing to experience. It's human. It is absolutely a part of the human experience. And being immortal is just simply not a part of the human experience.
That's what
and there is beauty in dying. There is beauty in not being here yeah. forever. You do want that. I think it's more humane, which is also more, maybe to me at least, more spiritual. And there's something so much, like you just don't want to live. Any movie you watch or show where someone gets to be immortal, it's never the time you think it is. It's never what you think it's going to be. And then you watch everyone you care about around you
Edward
die.
Edward Cullen
whatever.
In like, Twilight? I feel like he was anytime, fucking depressed.
Come on.
He needed a mortal
God, don't.
Bitch to...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Truly. No, he was fucking
Bella
depressed.
He needed Bella with her blood, live in the flesh.
Jesus. And then with that,
I know, then he turns her anyway. And
he becomes a vampire and lives forever. But that is besides the point. I'm like, most yeah. of the time, it doesn't work out. Or it's like, it's a lesson to be learned there of there is beauty and that this isn't forever. I don't know. And that is just the human experience. It's just, yeah. Anyways, I see why it's exciting to like gravitate away from the human experience or to do certain things. Right. But I do think at the end of the day, when we're talking about depression in the world as we know it, and why so many people don't want to work the way we do, it's because there's a bigger fucking thing going on here. There's a bigger essence or importance.
And that's...
There's meaning totally. Behind this shit, which I'm afraid does maybe gets removed artificially when that shit happens. But I just wanted to say all this too of like, yeah, sometimes I'm like, what's stopping comedians from just being like, AI, write me this joke? You know, people are using AI for copy. Why wouldn't people be using it for jokes?
For filmmaking and stuff. I feel like it's like, so easy to like
yeah.
put that shit into a formula. Like,
yeah, I did it for my resume.
No, seriously. Like,
and I loved
Netflix
it. I loved
can
it.
Be all AI if it wanted to, but no, it won't be.
But I'm interested, but
right.
can it? And I'm interested to see. And I'm betting a lot of money that it doesn't yeah. touch the human experience and that there's a huge significant loss personally. What do
no,
I know about
No, but
anything?
I'm glad that I'm that's immediately where your brain goes and you've been comforting because I've been a little freaked out about it, but you're right. You're right. And we'll see.
Time
yeah.
will tell, but I do think, yeah, I just do.
I am excited that it might yeah, give us
the 3D
some
printers, the AI
career freedom. Or more opportunity to focus
now
on
that
like
would be something, huh?
While AI,
but that's
can
my
do
fear
the
too.
Bullshit.
The last thing they want to give
I know,
us is freedom,
I know
though.
That would require
yeah.
us
so
waking up and
so it's
understanding
bad. Whatever
that
it is, it's bad.
We're being manipulated.
It's going to be humans against the AIs. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the big crisis.
Anyway,
I'm just kidding. It's going to be a fun dystopia here soon, folks. Just kidding. And with that, yeah, this season again, I'm like, it's light, it's fun. After we were just like, AI is coming to steal our jobs. Just kidding. Yeah, it's light, it's fun, it's sad. Luck's in our favor. The AIs aren't going to win. We're feeling the good vibes. The one and only Jay-Z. Now, Jay-Z's been coming up on my For You page quite a bit. Quite a bit because Beyonce's Renaissance
right in
movie,
the trailer he's in the audience theaters. Like yeah
I know and Blue is up there
I can't
dancing
wait to see
and
movie.
I'm just like I'm like tearing up and I am not a part of this family. They did not invite me. But yeah, Jay-Z, I just, what a conundrum.
An interesting person. A Sag if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, you know, it's tale as old as time, right? Everyone's like, Beyonce is so much better than Jay-Z, or, you know, and okay, to lots of extents and respect. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think what so many people forget is that Beyonce herself credits so much of her career to Jay-Z, so much of like her, a lot of choices she'd made as a businesswoman, as someone who was looking for longevity in her career. She owes so much of that to Hova. To Jay-Z, and that's always like their dynamic is, oh, you know, Jay-Z's got the Sag with the I meant to say this earlier, the big three, because we do have them. We got the Sagittarius Sun, Libra Moon, and then Virgo Ascending, and then Beyonce,
she's Virgo Sun, Scorpio Moon, Leo Rising.
I just do that off the top of your head, Heather. Wow. Say that one more time for me. I was too stunned.
Scorpio Moon, Leo Rising. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
They're both private. They both have the Virgo, but they both have a little fire. Makes sense.
But then he's got that Libra Moon. For where those relationships.
Yeah.
But then he's got this Sagittarius Sun and one of the biggest rap careers of all time and one of the most famous people we've ever seen. Anyways, I just like, I get very frustrated. This is just a little side tangent real quick. I do think it's maybe the younger generation who didn't grow up with Jay-Z as much, who like doesn't understand it or doesn't, because like Beyonce is just, she's one of the biggest stars musically currently of all time, but especially in terms of continuing to dominate at her age, where pop stars usually are not doing what she's doing, where she literally, I want to be so clear, has literally no one else in her lane except the Beyonce from the year previous, like truly untouchable stardom. I worship. Anyways, I gotta see Renaissance. I already saw it live, but I don't remember. I blacked out. So I just do get very, I get very frustrated when people act confused, as when Beyonce has only ever been like, my family is my strongest power. You know, they are my greatest strength and they are also my biggest weakness.
Said like a true that Scorpion.
Is a literally. And I just get when people, like, people make jokes all the time because of like the cheating allegations with Jay-Z and Beyonce, which I think at this point they themselves artistically have spoken their piece on it. When people are like, that never happened,
well,
I'm just kind
of
like,
they kind of have said it or have said as much. Yeah.
Right. And because of like, because of knowing Beyonce's chart and now Jay-Z's, I am like, man, they are private. And I do feel like if it was like, that's a huge thing to be vulnerable with their fans, but also very fucking earth placements of them to make money off
and
of
to
it.
Stay it like, in it.
This isn't just going to be a tab. Mm-hmm. And to me, and I listen, I hear the younger generation. I'm not trying to be like, stick out your toxic relationships by any means. But I remember I was in eighth grade, Mandarin Middle, Miss Moses, amazing, one of the best teachers I ever had. My English teacher at the time. We had to bring in current events. This was back when I was in eighth grade, so I was, how do you say, a Republican.
Me too.
I do apologize. Yeah, I was just like, everyone around me is. Yeah, it's fucking Jacksonville, Florida. We're literally in Georgia. I'm like, well, everyone around me is a Republican. And we had to bring in current events. And this was like, I think, I forget what was all going on, but Hillary Clinton's in the, who I voted for, who I later voted for with the utmost respect and believing and said, fuck off about these emails. I said, she sent them to me. She's just a girl's girl. Relax. Anyway. And so it's so funny because me, eighth grade, running my little mouth, my little eighth grade mouth. I remember speaking up and being like, how can Hillary Clinton run this country if she can't even control her marriage? And now I'm like, I'm sickened by that. She needed time to grow. She's our, she's,
Bill, God, what's bless the problem?
Her. She didn't know any better. Literally. And now I'm like, the way I blamed a woman for a man being a, I'm a very, and like I said, voted with pride for that woman. And I am appalled that little Miranda said that. But the way Miss Moses, with all of her, the love and the care in the world in her heart, immediately called me out on my shit in front of the entire class and said, Miss Lenski, are you married? I said, no. Have you ever been married? No. Then maybe you should shut the fuck up. Not exactly what she said, but like essentially it was very like, she really taught me in that moment of like, maybe I don't fucking speak on shit I don't know shit about. And like, really, like, since I know that you'd think I know this probably doesn't seem true to most, but now I do really just feel like when shit's not my business, it's just really not my business. And I do think a lot of people who are like, Beyonce's in a toxic relationship, blah, blah, blah. I'm also just like, literally, y'all have never been married. Y'all are, have never
such
even
such a funny
close.
Story, and like, Miranda. It's like,
I'm so sorry. It took way too long to just be like,
you're right.
It was important. It was very important for my upbringing. I just
did.
Shared so much
vulnerable.
With the audience. I do. Heather's like, that was so brave of you. I can't believe you just did that on the recording. But it was so important for me. Like, I'm, you know, I'm not hating. I was in eighth grade. I really was just, like, I had no idea what politics were. And again,
yeah,
I grew up in this, like,
no, I
we
get
all
it.
Grow, we learn, we thank God we change. And I want to be so clear that I'm not, thank God I'm still not in eighth grade. Yeah, a lot of my opinions have changed, a lot of my persona, but I'll just never forget that. And it taught me so much. And if anything, when I look at Jay-Z and Beyonce, yes, say what you will, make the jokes about it. But like, to me, I'm like, those are two people in love who are fucking working on it. And I think it's also just naive to think that love can be black
totally.
And white. It's one of the only things
Although
that's
not.
Although
if you're
not,
a Libra moon like Jay-Z,
and
you might see it that way sometimes. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and I am, and we will circle back and get to the whole point of why I'm talking about this. But yeah, I don't know. I get very annoyed when I see people acting like how dare you respect Beyonce until it comes to this decision? Like, you'll dance to her music and you love her messaging, and then but this you call her stupid on. And I just don't think that's respectful if you are a so-called fan. And I think like, to be a fan and to like respect someone is to like not necessarily agree with their choices, but just that, just like respect their choice. And yeah, I don't know. If anything, I'm kind of like, I've never seen a relationship so strong, regardless of like the jokes like made about it.
No.
You can't look at that and not say that's fucking love. Just saying. And I want to be so clear that I know I was not thrilled when I found out that Jay-Z might have fucked around with someone named Becky, who apparently has good hair. I was my jaw couldn't get off the floor. Sometimes I still listen to Lemonade and I'm like, but I don't know. I think there's something beautiful about Jay-Z and Beyonce. It's really interesting seeing his chart and the way that like he's got that Sag fire. She has that Leo, you said rising. And then so they both got the fire in those departments, the sun and the rising. And then he's got that Virgo rising. So he has Earth rising where she has Earth sun. So it's like their little switcheroo there. And then the Libra Earth with her Scorpio, the Libra Moon with her Scorpio Moon. I'm just like, see, this is why they're still together.
If you did their synastry charts and like put their charts on top of each other, which is how you do like compatibility in astrology, all of those signs or all of those placements, like they must activate each other a lot. Like his fire sun trines her Leo rising, the Virgo ascendant next to her Virgo sun. Like there's a strong pull there.
And I also just love the idea. I know I'm making a lot of this about Beyonce.
When you look at his biography, it says he's most known for his rap career and Beyonce's husband.
Beyonce. Well, and that's just that I feel like people forget, like, Jay-Z's a little bit older. I think he's almost like 10 years older than her. And so like his career started, he had like a whole career.
For
he
sure.
Was, like,
yeah.
Started in his career. And rappers usually like respectfully don't have like, I mean, again, Beyonce's longevity is like, it's an anomaly. Her
it's
being
crazy.
In her 40s, just doing a world tour and like millennials and Zoomers are at it, and people in there for people also Beyonce's like her range of like, and yeah, did a world tour of nothing but dancing and see, like she's mm-hmm. that is an anomaly. She is like, don't get me wrong, but I also love this idea of like she chooses Jay-Z. It's like I do think there's yeah. something that's like exactly there's almost like something in her soul mm-hmm. that knows their dynamic. It's between them. She's had a child mm-hmm. and then more with this man. And so I find that so beautiful. I just do that. There's like, there's this whole, I love that there's a whole sense of like, we don't know a fucking thing about yeah. them. I do love it. There's something sacred about that. That's really beautiful to me. And they're one of the, they're two of the most famous people in the world. And I think it's really easy to weigh on what we think we know about their marriage is all I'm going to say. But if anything's clear to me, regardless of the details of what happened, yada, 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 yeah. they love each other. That's what's like clear to me. That's what reads. And I love that. Does Jay-Z's Libra moon, Heather, explain to me the Libra moon again, too, in terms of like relationships?
So the moon, is emotions.
Sorry.
And
right.
Yeah, like what you need to feel emotionally secure. And so I think that if you have Libra moon, you're a relationship person. You kind of need relationships to just and not even like. I mean, yes, I think they feel really ultimate security in committed relationships, but also like relating to other people wherever they are on a daily basis is like what fulfills them. And they even run into trouble, I think, sometimes with like putting that above, like they can be people pleasers, like putting that above their own personal needs and independence. But they're really good at relating to others and creating nice relationships.
Interesting. I loved hearing, like, Jay-Z was on, it was the David Letterman show, and he's talking about taking Blue to school, and like he's being self-aware about it, and he's like, she's asking a lot of questions. I'm like, come on, we gotta get in the car, we gotta go to school. And then he's like, I'm like rushing her, I'm kind of like, quit asking me questions, we gotta go. And then he tells David Letterman, I hear a little voice from behind me, Danny, I didn't really like the way you spoke to me earlier. He said, calm, cool, and collected. I turned around, I said, you're six. He said, it's one of the most beautiful things she's ever said to me. And I thought it was such a cute, like, Jay-Z story. And then, like, getting to not, like, cut forward to him watching Blue on the stage. Like, I do think, like, their family dynamic is something mm-hmm. very special. Mm-hmm. He does feel like a family man. And that happens. A lot of people have kids and like completely not change. But I do think, you know, watching Jay-Z be Jay-Z and then like him like having a cutie little moment with his kids is mm-hmm. like very, I don't know. We love that balance. We love to see it. So the whole family, the relationship dynamic, like I'm sure being there for his kid, the fact that he takes his kids yeah. to school is like a celebrity of his, you know, at his range, his, you know, a celebrity of his
caliber. Yeah.
I'm trying to say height. Yes. Taking his kid.
Yeah.
It's Jay-Z.
It's cute. He's
taking his kid to school. Like, I know,
also think that, you know, a Libra moon, Libra in general, they would say is sort of like you could be lucky in your relationships or like that's an area of life where you really like it's a strong attraction energy. So I think it makes sense that his biography says known for rapper, but also Beyonce's husband, like his relationship right. is such a big part of his life and his soul journey and theme. Yeah.
yeah. Well, they've been forever. But also I feel like people forget
the Crazy in Love music video. Oh my God. I remember watching
yes,
that.
Yes, she was so young. Yeah. And so like, and now, you know, she's in her 40s and yeah, I do think that too. Like they've just, you know, they've been like, it's not like Jay-Z and Beyonce were like off and then like dated all these right. other celebrities. Like they've both have been, you know, together and in this, you know, have both, helped excel each other's careers
yeah.
on their own levels
and
whatnot. Yeah.
One more, I think,
please
similarity
sorry, yes.
between this chart and Beyonce's is that, you know, Beyonce's a Scorpio sun, but Jay-Z has Pluto, Scorpio's ruling planet, in the first house of identity. They say that if you have a planet in the first house, it's almost like having, I mean, it's not exactly like having the sun sign of that. Like, it doesn't make Jay-Z a Scorpio just because Pluto's there, but it does kind of give his personality a Scorpio tilt. There is that energy in his identity. So yeah, so it makes sense that they're like soul bonded, you know, they're in it for the long haul.
Right. Right.
Yeah. This chart is, it's bottom heavy, and Saturn in the eighth, the planet of restriction in the house of intimacy and security, but they overcome those challenges. Saturn can master that shit. They do, Virgo. Yeah.
Truly. I'm going to be vulnerable with y'all, but I'm going to make money while I do it.
Yeah.
That's like me with the story I just shared, Heather.
That killed me.
I said I'm going to be vulnerable with the listeners, but I'm not going to make. Okay, why am I doing this?
I love it.
Wow. Is there anything else, Heather, that you would like to?
I'm excited to go into the next one because it's the same. It is like literally the same.
I'm not shocked about it, Jay-Z. Come on the pod. And with that, Heather, I am excited. Oh, I'm excited about this next chart. Everything you've told me so far has just made me like not shocked to know that they're so similar, but incredibly engaged more than usual.
Yeah. Yeah. Sense. Well, get this. So Miranda texted me saying she was thinking about covering Jay-Z. I was like, what if I do Walt Disney? I pull up Walt Disney's chart to study it. Then I pull up Jay-Z's chart to take a look. Literally the same chart. Walt Disney is a Sagittarius sun, Libra moon in the first house, Virgo fucking rising. Same exact thing. Walt Disney also has all of his planets in the bottom half, except for two planets on the top. There are a few differences, but same big three. And both with moon in the first house.
The same, right?
No, I mean, sorry. Walt Disney was born in like 1900.
Right, but I mean like their actual wasn't Jay-Z born the same year as Walt Disney? How much older than Beyonce is he?
That's funny. No, I don't have their birthdays. I could quickly Google it, but
saying this, I'm doing. Oh yeah, December 5th was Walt Disney, and I accidentally X'd out of Jay-Z's. But December 5th, I'm like interested to know if they're what.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Kinds of Sagittarians they are, like if one's, you know,
right.
Because you can like have the same elements, just like not remotely the same.
Yeah, one could be more
day. Oh my God, Jay-Z's born on the 4th.
Whoa, look at that.
So yeah, so Walt Disney is the 5th and Jay-Z's the 4th. So no wonder they're literally.
Synchronicity.
Wow.
Yeah, so sorry, go ahead, very Heather. Interesting. Yeah, it's so it the thing that strikes me about, well, you know, we all know Walt Disney. We all know what a Sagittarian feat and life like to. I guess, was bopping around and he tried to join the army and like went to, I want to say it was France during, one of the wars. And he like drove an ambulance like that. He couldn't, be in the army because he was too young, but he like joined Red Cross and drove the ambulance. And then after that, he, got into animation. He like worked for an animation company, and then he was like, why don't I start my own animation company? And he brought his brother on. They created the character Mickey Mouse. He voiced the character Mickey Mouse. It was a huge hit. And then in his typical Sagittarian fashion was just like, how do we make this bigger? How do we make this bigger? Let's make Disney
go bigger.
Yeah, let's make all these movies. Let's make all these shows. Apparently he's one of the first people to like bring entertainment to television, and then let's make an amusement park, and then let's make five amusement parks. And I mean, it really is so, it makes so much sense to me that he's a Sagittarius. Also, I read that apparently before he created Disneyland, he had to file for bankruptcy, which I always think is so interesting when like these people who are like the most successful people in our history have had to like have lost everything and then have had to rebuild. And I think there's something so Sagittarius about that.
Have taken like an L by society standards in order to,
like what a fucking remarkable person. And then the Sagittarius sun is right next to Uranus, which I feel like I've been talking a lot about in charts recently, that Uranus is Aquarius's planet of like massive creativity and like, you know, imagining the impossible, but also like change, and you need a lot of variety and you're comfortable with chaos. And so there's that, and that is also connected. It's opposing Pluto, which is right by the midheaven, which is a strong signature of like power and like destiny, quote unquote, fatedness. So yeah, it's a really cool chart. And then there's a lot of planets in the fourth house of family, including Saturn, which is a little challenging. I'm sure that he had trouble balancing family life with work. I don't even know if he was married. That wasn't even in the biography that I read. But as a Libra moon,
he was like married with kids.
I'm sure. Oh, right. Well, he has a whole Disney family.
Should have more of this prepared.
I know. Yeah. I did do some research, but the his like personal life wasn't well, and being friends with Christian gave us a whole lecture on Disney and the history of it.
Shouts
I know,
out.
Shouts out. Shouts if Christian were listening to this right now, he'd be like, bitch, why didn't you bring me on?
He's got notes.
Yeah, like fact check. but no, yeah, I've learned a lot from him. But such a Sagittarius.
I forgot about Christian's love also for Disney.
I think the Virgo rising is really interesting. After I looked at this, I also looked up Steve Jobs' chart and Elon Musk's chart. Steve Jobs also has Virgo rising, and Apple is the most attention to detail, sleek business ever. Like, talk about efficiency.
Right. It's apart from the whole thing of Apple, was the details or what set it apart.
And that was what Steve Jobs fought for.
Yeah, and it's in the heat. Look, Apple has everyone by the balls, respectfully.
No.
Like, I'm just, like, we all, it's like you either have an iPhone or you don't. But, like, it's, but the percentage of people who do, it's like, it's astounding, right? It really, like, for a technology to take over like that, for one brand to be, which, like, and, you know, they love talking about how Android, for example, can do so much more and has so much more abilities. And I owned an Android. It ran over my first iPhone. I don't want to get into it. I've already been vulnerable enough. But like, yeah, I remember my people being like, Androids can do so much more. And I'm like, and I can't, there's too much.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, Apple's so user friendly and I can just like read it better. And it like vibes
simple
with me.
Simple, Virgo,
and
sleek.
Like the little blue messages. Yeah, right. And so that was huge, because that was the fucking difference.
Yeah.
That was Apple's whole thing, was that it put the time into making those overpriced phones so cool looking.
Yeah, apparently,
and now look.
Even the inside pieces of a Mac are aesthetically pretty. Like, he cared about that. Like, every little detail, which is the same thing you see. Elon Musk is a Virgo moon and cares a lot about making his shit look futuristic and sleek. And Walt Disney.
Not himself.
No. Apparently, he also eats one meal a day. And that one meal is like a double burger with a milkshake and extra cheese fries.
We can jab at Elon Musk a little bit.
We can. But,
and then some.
But these super successful people with this Virgo, especially Virgo rising and caring about the details, I don't know. To me, Walt Disney being a Sag son with Virgo rising, Walt Disney is so detail. The whole Disney empire is very about the details. It's very about the beauty, the aesthetics of the Libra moon, but also the expansiveness and fucking craziness of Sagittarius.
You're right. Disney is so Sag. Disney is like as Sag as it
How can
gets.
We make this bigger? Like, it really is. It's just the most amplified
empire. He did have two daughters.
Oh, okay.
Diane and Sharon. Diane Disney Miller. And Sharon Mae Disney. Oh, wait. Diane Disney Miller might be his wife. Because that doesn't make any...
I know there is like a Disney lineage. Anyway. So yeah, that makes sense.
I felt like I knew that. But yeah, I... Christian, please don't tune in. But yeah, there was one other thing I was going to say, Heather, too. Sorry. What was it? It'll come back to me. It was in regards to Disney, but it will come back. Oh, in terms of like... We talked about Jay-Z maybe having tendencies, right, of being like a people pleaser, you know? Do you feel like in Disney's chart has a similarity and like, you know, this need to like fulfill the masses and give them more and more and more? I'm wondering if that goes into
the masses, maybe.
I don't know if I'm articulating that's right.
Interesting. I was just going to say Neptune in the 10th. It's interesting. Because notoriously, if you have Neptune in the 10th house, the 10th house is the house of career. Neptune is Pisces' planet of like, you know, it's not work. So Pisces is about spirituality and the transcendence, but also sacrifices in order to transcend. And so notoriously, if you have Neptune in the 10th, it's like not great for career. But it's also the planet of imagination, and he also has Pluto next to the midheaven, which is like the most that like I think Kris Jenner has. So there's that contrast. But Neptune in the 10th.
Well, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say Neptune in the 10th would suggest that he has to like sacrifice something for this mega empire.
Yes. So... What and then real quick, will you remind me what the MC is?
It's the so you have the AC is the ascendant, right? The DC is the descendant, and then the MC is the midheaven. So like the ascendant is like identity, how you present yourself to another person, like you know, it's the rising sign. The MC is like the public, because the top half of the chart is the public half of the chart. The MC is like a career point. It's your public reputation. So with like celebrities, it's very important to look at.
Well, not to bring her up.
Taylor.
Taylor is a Sag sun, as we know, and her MC, at least on this chart, says Virgo, which I find
interesting.
And it has a new song out with the entire line, "I wouldn't marry me either, a pathological people pleaser."
Oh, I see
and
what you're
so
saying.
So much of like... She the kick and I think the life and the joy and the love she receives from the fans giving a shit enough to like care about those little Easter eggs, the little details. That's literally her signature, right? That's like the thing she's known for. It's like the Marvel universe of the Swiftie universe, right? Of like getting those. She knows we love those Easter eggs. That's why she does them. She doesn't need to warn us. We'll buy up all her shit and be interested. She does it. It's a
relationship.
I think it's very people pleasy, but it's also it's like you've given me so much, and I know that you enjoy this. And it's also again what kind of sets her apart as an artist in what she does. And it's not like Disney was the only animator, but I do wonder how much of like his drive was from a place of the love he received and the feeling he got from people enjoying his. Not just being an artist, right? A lot of people are just like, I just do this for the art. I don't care who listens. No, like Walt Disney wanted to be seen.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's because he wanted to continue to give back to what with that feeling. Same with Taylor. Yeah. Like Taylor didn't want to stay at the Bluebird Cafe. She wanted to sell out stadiums.
Yeah,
and gives back to the people who helped her do that. I find that really interesting.
And
then when you mentioned the Jay-Z people pleasing.
And then
thing,
Virgo is a relationship sign, and it's the sign of service. Mm-hmm. So it loves to like... provide something. It loves to be of service to others, and that's interesting because Steve Jobs like made the Mac and then was like, oh, but we need to make an iPod so that people have this same thing but for their music, but then we need to make it a phone so that they come to us for that too. And so there's something to that, maybe with the Libra and the Virgo. And
interesting, matched with like the Sag energy of just like sort of I got this if I put my ass
totally
interesting. That's I'll never forget. I growing up in Florida, I grew up at the Orlando Disneys, grew up watching Disney movies, of course. Moved to Los Angeles for a little bit, never made it to Disneyland, actually had plans and a literal ass ticket to go to Disneyland, the original, which everyone warned me, the castle's not the same. The castle in Orlando is so much bigger. And I'm like, you don't understand, though. Growing up in Orlando, yes, I love Disney World, but I always wanted to see the original Disneyland. Mm-hmm. There was always something about the history of that was very exciting. And it was the first one. It's like, I think people forget, like, it's not like Anaheim. Well, actually, I don't know. But I don't feel like Anaheim, that's where Disneyland mm-hmm. is, right? It's not like it's like Orlando, where it's just booming with amusement parks. It's like it's special, niche. It's Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah.
Had tickets to go on March 19th of 2020 for my birthday. And we went into lockdown on the 14th, 5 days before. And I never still got a refund.
Fuck.
And like, I'm not sure if it expires, but I am desperate to go to Disneyland and I'm desperate to use
Shit.
That still somehow,
come
some
visit.
Way. Yeah, just saying. Anyways, but yeah. God bless Walt Disney.
God bless him.
And they're, you know, they're, it's a little complicated, but all in
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it is.
I think for him, it was very like spreading love. It also maybe could have been about the money, but I get the gist that a lot of it was like a feeling, was an energy.
Hey, Sagittarius has to expand,
him. Yeah.
Has to grow, has to see how far it can go. And that way he fulfilled yeah. his soul duty and
that arrow
provided a lot
traveled.
Of fucking happiness to people. So.
Yeah. God bless.
God bless.
Oh, Jay-Z, Walt Disney. Essentially
the same
person.
Jay-Z's the reincarnation.
I know. I just, this one's been a fun one. This season's just a fun one. It's like all dark and cold out right now here in New York. But boy, am I warm and toasty recording
yeah,
this with aww, you right now.
I like that.
It's been a good time. Shall we let the folks know what's to come this
yes.
week?
Yes. It's a fun week. We just had Venus enter Scorpio, which I think is really Woo-hoo. Fun. Like amidst the lightness of all the Sagittarius, we have this, you know, month of Venus, the planet of love, being in this deep, intense
right.
sign. And it just entered there. It'll be there for the next month. Or by the end of December, actually, it enters Capricorn. So she's moving pretty fast. Nice. But that's fun. Perfect. And there's a lot of Venusian energy this week. It's been a Venusian year. But on December 8th, which is Friday, Mercury in Capricorn will form a trine to Jupiter in Taurus. Trines are the best, most beneficial, harmonious aspects. And Jupiter mm-hmm. is Sagittarius's planet, which is also beneficial, optimism, manifestation energy. So Mercury in good nice. Connection with Jupiter, very cerebral, very inspired. It is probably going to be a very optimistic day where you can make good manifestations or have pleasant thoughts and plans for the future. Then yes. December 10th, Sunday, Venus in Scorpio will form an opposition to Jupiter. Again, Sagittarius's planet of abundance and expansion. So that is supposed to be a great time for intense love and passion. We have this Venus and passionate Scorpio connected to Jupiter, the lucky planet in Taurus. So overall, a very bright week. And then nice. December 13th on Wednesday, we have the Sagittarius new moon, which I think is so cool that the last new moon of our calendar year is in Sagittarius, and then Mercury is going to go retrograde the same day. So it's sort of like we're ending the year with the Sagittarius new moon that is already like the ultimate sign for manifesting, right. looking forward in an optimistic way,
abundance,
making plans for yep. abundance in the future. And then at the same time,
attracting, pointing.
Totally. And then at the same time, Mercury in Capricorn is going to start retrograding. So it's like review the year in your Capricorn way while right. having the space to dream big. So it. Yeah, that new moon is on Wednesday, the last new moon of the year. Everybody, take out your tarot cards. Write your goals.
Truly. This upcoming Wednesday.
Yeah. Which.
The last new moon of
yeah,
the year.
Yeah. And when I say, like when they say that the new moon is on Wednesday, to me that usually means the day before. Because like they'll say Wednesday at 3 a.m., which is like Tuesday night, right?
Mm. Oh, well, yeah, if it's Wednesday at 3 a.m., if it's Thursday at 3 a.m., it's technically late.
But usually
Wednesday
it's like the middle of.
My phone right now says last quarter. And I think my phone goes off the like. I think my phone won't like. Even when we're in like new moon energy, I know it's new moon energy. My phone is being like precise or whatever because it's got the. I have the moon phases on it.
Regardless.
So right now it's like saying last quarter. I think it might change at that 3 a.m. time or whatever it'll go into. But again, you can pick up on that energy the day before, the day after. Yeah. It's a strong pull.
Give or take.
It's not just like a tiny little window. Yeah. And it's all, and yeah, it's just all about your energy and intentions you set. If anything, just take a mindful moment.
Yeah.
If you can.
Exactly.
I've never done one of those once in my
yes,
life.
Yes, you have.
But yeah, what a beautiful time. I'm so, it's like we're in, it's Sagittarius. It's that already that energy. We've got this new moon on the way. We've got arrows to point north, folks.
It's exciting.
I'm excited. Heather, that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for being brave today and being such a good friend and a great conversationalist.
I'll be brave anywhere but the beach.
Same. Keep me out of the sea.
Oh, listeners, we love you. Go forth and be brave. Infinite abundance.
Infinite abundance.
All right.
We love you.
You will be rewarded. Love you. Love you, listeners.
Bye.